You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
So it is a hard cut of the music by Ryan. How's everyone doing? It is the Mark Order Podcast. It is me, Ryan, joined by my most always co-host, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I am doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. For those noticing that I said hello to Joe and it's my voice, that means there's no Kate tonight. I think she's off totally. She isn't filling in elsewhere. She's just not available, so... I swear to God, if my camera starts shorting out already, I'm going to be in trouble. But yeah, I'm good. No Kate. So it's us tonight for a Dynamite that ended almost on time. It was only about 8 minutes late. So that's shocking, which only put us 5 minutes behind schedule. Like, you know, that's amazing.
Like, yeah.
But we have... in our chat already, Matthew Hooks, Taylor Cannon, Lord Kev, Scott George. Thanks for coming. Thanks for hanging out. So how are you doing? Anything new?
You know, not a whole lot. Just kind of surviving the heat wave that's been kind of going through. Today, finally, was in the 70s. But other than that, I added basketball hoops to my house now. So... now I'm that guy who's kind of hanging out in the driveway working on my 15-foot jumper.
Basketball Jones over here.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What about you? Can you dunk?
I haven't been able to dunk since I was probably like 19 or 20.
All right. The fact that you could dunk is enough. I have never been able to dunk in my entire life.
Well, I do have a few inches of height on you.
You are taller than me, I will say that. And I have absolutely no vertical leap. Like, if this is the ground, my left hand's the ground, it's like this. If you're not seeing my hand move, that's because that's basically what it is.
And you can probably move anyone then. I mean, your low center of gravity and your stockiness.
Before knee injury put me out, yes, that was my one strength. If I don't want to move or go places, it's very difficult for me to be moved, even by guys who are undoubtedly bigger and stronger than me. It's just, I got that I'm low to the ground and my body wants to be where it's at thing. So yeah, but I have no updates either. It's been a quiet week for me.
No all-star game shenanigans for you? In Philadelphia?
No, I didn't go. I didn't, you know, I like the home run derby. Again, sucks that Schwarber didn't win, but it is what it is. But no, I didn't matter to me. I'm not an all-star game guy. I never have been. I think there's, even when they tried to make it meaningful, it was meaningless. Like, it's just, and baseball's not like, basketball can be, like, I don't even watch basketballs, but when the times I have, it can be kind of fun because guys can kind of get creative and show off a little bit. Same thing with hockey. It's tough, but they can at least try to be fancy. Baseball is just baseball. It's not a knock on baseball. It's like football. How do you get fancy in like that game? You can't. It is what it is. So, you know,
that's why we have the animal.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not, you know, I've watched a little bit of Banana Ball because it was on TV. I think ESPN might have had it on. I don't think I realized just how much singing there was in that.
It's like baseball, the musical.
Yeah, because I used to think, oh, it's just like the Harlem Globetrotters. No. Harlem Globetrotters were like basketball and silly jokes. This is like baseball, silly jokes, dancing and singing. Like you said, baseball, the musical. Spaceballs the lunchbox. Spaceballs the flamethrower.
I'm looking forward to that movie coming out.
Me too. I loved the first one so much. I hope that, you know. Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
I don't know why they didn't keep that title.
They should have. That would have been the funniest.
Speaking of movies, I did go see The Odyssey. I did that last week.
What did you think about it?
I have a little PTSD from this. I was never really big into Greek mythology. That my whole freshman English curriculum in college was based around The Odyssey. So I'm a little worn out by it, but the movie itself I thought was impressive just from thinking about the logistical side of everything and how it's made and shot entirely in IMAX and the work it took to film it and the work it took to cast and sets and everything else. I think just the overall enormity of filming that movie is what impressed me the most.
Yeah, that the way he does his movies. I've heard decent things from most people who I know that have seen it, like they liked it. It's on my list of things I want to see. It's just hard to commit 3 hours to go watch a movie. You know, that's such like, a...
minutes.
How long?
2:52.
So 3 hours.
Hey, you watch longer... You watch AEW papers. They're like 5 hours.
Yes, but you know the difference is? I'm home when I do that.
That's fair.
I got to go to the bathroom, when I got to do things, like I can just get up and go.
I didn't have one bathroom break. I made the whole movie.
Have one because I drink too much soda and then I got to go to the bathroom.
Nope, I'm good. And I didn't buy the popcorn bucket, the fancy little popcorn bucket there.
Oh, I didn't even know they had a fancy one for this.
Oh yeah, there's a Trojan horse one and then there's the IMAX camera one.
Well, did you see the okay, I'm look. Jesus Christ, the horse one is ridiculous.
It is.
The IMAX one is not half bad, actually.
No, I can give you a fun little shelf display.
Yeah, but apparently like they had like the IMAX cut that was in like only so many theaters because only so many places can actually play like the real.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
I think in the country.
I love you, your movies, Chris Nolan, but sometimes. But, I mean, he's making plenty of money, so who am I?
A guy on the internet talking about wrestling.
I'm just the guy on the internet talking about wrestling. Speaking of wrestling, was there any news this week?
I mean, I don't know. Adjacent, maybe. I mean, there's always the talk about Bayley.
Yeah, Bayley would be a big one.
But I mean, it's so premature that, you know, it's just kind of fantasy right now. I don't know. I can't think of anything major. Anyone in the chat can think of something off the top of our heads. Let us know.
I do know there was some rampant speculation about Sammy Guevara removing AEW. From his bio.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know if anything ever came of that. And then Brian Alvarez said that Ty Mello, like a year ago, had requested a release and wasn't granted. I don't know the story there. I mean, one, I'm a big proponent of if you ask for your release, you probably should be given it. But I also admit that at least Tony Khan lets the contracts run out. So he has at least a little bit of something in my mind where if you cut the contracts early, you have no right to say, you know, I'm going to hold you to your contract. Like, but since they do, and Sammy, he's been in ROH, but he hasn't really been AEW for for much. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. There's not enough out there for that to be a thing right now. Like, not enough information, I should say, because it could just be him having fun with it. These wrestlers know what they're doing. I'm not being talked about enough. Take this out of my bio. Suddenly people are going to talk about me. But I think that was all I know. Scott George pointing out April releases are free tomorrow. Some interesting fun times there. Say hey, 1LT in the chat, Lord Kev in the chat, Big G pointing out the Motor City Machine Guns, 1LT pointing out New Day. Yeah, if they're all free, whew, things are about to get interesting across wrestling.
I don't know if you wasted that redemption. I think you saved them for across the pond.
See, here's the thing, though. If you reveal New Day at Redemption, you can market them for Wembley.
That's fair.
I mean, it sounds like your point. But, like, you would have that, like, our biggest pay-per-view, their biggest pay-per-view now has that match added to it. And then apparently Big G says they're in Detroit next week. That'd be a good time for some Motor City Machine Guns. I would debut all the teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think that's it for, you know, for the news of the week, unless, like, again, if someone in chat has something else, let us know. I wouldn't. So 1LT say Fatal 5-Way at Wembley. I wouldn't. Are we talking tag team? I wouldn't do that. I would do New Day versus Elite straight up. That's the match people want to see. All right, and so we'll get into the show. They were live in Tennessee, Nashville, I believe. So I see what I want to see. So Cage and Cove versus FTR versus Bucks versus New Day. Now, I love that. I get what 1LT's saying, but I do New Day versus the Bucks, their own thing, and you could do Cage and Cove versus FTR versus Motor City Machine Guns if you wanted to do the triple threat tag team, but I would leave Bucks and New Day be their own.
Yeah.
That's a draw. Yeah. So we start off Dynamite. It has a backstage segment with Will Ospreay talking to Kenny Omega about how, like, you know, they were the main event tonight in us trios match, and Will Ospreay saying that, you know, whenever he and Omega team up, they're undefeated. But then Moxley walks up and the whole room just gets awkward. Moxley even calls it out, being like, there's no tension in here. There was tension in there. I mean, it was a fine way to start off the show. I didn't think it was anything special.
No, I mean, just kind of set up what happened later in the main event, right? So.
And then we move on to our opening match. It is Darby Allin versus Kevin Knight for the AEW TNT Championship. Did you know that Kevin Knight had broken the record for TNT title defenses?
I hadn't. I mean, he really... I'm good on him for making it the workhorse title.
They said it a lot, right? Like, I'm not wrong in what I heard.
I don't know. That's impressive for a heel.
But also just how short he's had it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm Googling. See if Google.
I mean, has he had a title defense every week? Had it?
He's per Yahoo, whatever. He's had 10 titles, successful title defenses. That's,
wow.
That's a lot of, I didn't realize. Good on him. That's a, it's good use. I mean, he's such a good wrestler. Please put him in the damn ring. I hate saying a typical something match because it makes me feel like I'm insulting it, but it had the typical Darbyism to where like Darby was using his body as a weapon and being far more, how do I want to say this, wild with his wrestling and wanting to make things a little bit crazier. But I will say this made Kevin Knight look more aggressive than I'm typically used to him wrestling. He looked like angry. He was wrestling Darby, and I really appreciated that. So match is going well, but then Kevin hit Darby to the back of the head with a belt, hits his UFO splash, and retained the TNT title. Again, I thought it was a fine match. I liked that it made Kevin Knight look a little bit more angry, a little bit more aggressive than he typically is. What'd you think?
I ended up liking the pace of the match. I liked the fact that it started off hot and then kind of slowed down a little bit. I think that's kind of the right thing to do to get the crowd going. They kept making a point about how Kevin Knight wanted to out-wrestle Darby, which was interesting because this match was not really a wrestling match. I mean, so much of it took place outside the ring. And it felt like there was a lot of, you know, holds or grappling or anything like that. There was a lot of just reckless abandon and controlled chaos. But I like that Kevin Knight won by himself. He didn't have outside help. I know he used a title belt, but he's a heel, so it happens. So I like the fact that he got a relatively quote-unquote clean win over Darby. And there's the right call. I just don't know. I don't know where Darby goes from here now.
Yeah, I never minded the heel cheating when it's... But it's the constant, how do you want to say it? It's the constant interference that's annoying, but I don't mind when a heel cheats on his own. Like you said, that's what they're going to do. So using the belt, not a problem. Having the Don Callis family interfere for the 5,000th time, that gets annoying. Speaking of the Don Callis family, after the match, you have Al Fletcher come out to his music, then Okada come out to his music, which I really appreciated because once again, you had the image of Kyle Fletcher staring down Kevin Knight with Okada staring down Fletcher. It's subtle, but I really like it. And then they get to the ring and Renee's in the ring with the entire Don Callis family. And Kevin Knight is talking first and he's going to be, you know, Jet Two Belts. And he actually did a really good thing where first Mark Davis gave an interview where he said, you know, Andrade, we'll see if Andrade shows up after I beat him up. I expected a deeper voice from Mark Davis, to be honest with you. So that was a little bit off-putting. So that started Andrade chants. And I got to give Kevin Knight credit because he did respond with, how I know. And I'm like, yeah, see, you're using the crowd. That's a good way to do it. And he said that he's got the eight. That's when he said he has the title defense record. A record that was held by Kyle Fletcher. He did it without the Don Callis family, which instantly pissed off Kyle Fletcher. And he basically gets in Kevin Knight's face and is like, I hope you win both belts, but is very aggressive. He says, I also don't need the Don Callis family, so I'm going to make sure they're banned from my match against Bandido. And you know what? They're banned for my tag match tonight when Okada and I take on Brodido. Okay. Like, I guess it was okay. Like, I don't, you know what it was? It was a good way to make sure you didn't have a match filled with a lot of interference, which I can appreciate that because we were getting, that's always my fear with the Don Callis family. So you have Brodido come out and the Don Callis family, it's Okada and Fletcher. Okada and Fletcher dominate pause. What did you think of the promo section? What did you think of the promo section?
I'm intrigued to see how this Montana family slow implosion occurs, like what's the next linchpin to be pulled from this? If I'm wondering if they're going to jump Kyle out since he's the one acting like he doesn't need the family now, he's going to be come across and being ungrateful. And you know, Okada has been quiet in the background, he said, to kind of giving him the deadly stare. Yeah, I think less is more from Okada in this situation, and I think all the Okada is for show, and it's a nice little distraction from what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's fair. So then we have the match, and Okada and Fletcher are in control for good portions of the match. There was one point where Bandido like went into attack Fletcher and Okada, and he's so much shorter than they are, and he just kind of like slapped them, and it just could tell it did nothing. But eventually, Brody gets the tag, and he's the perfect hot tag because he's this big, massive man, and that turns it over. And then you have the back and forth with guys going in and out of the ring. Kind of what happens after every match, after there's the hot tag, where it kind of falls apart. Not in a bad way, just does. There was one moment where Fletcher, like, I don't know what it's called. I'm sure it's not, this is where Kate would be useful. He, like, tossed Brody Bandido in the air. The height that Bandido got on that toss when he came down, I was like, damn, that looked painful. But Brodido did end up winning by pinfall with a 21-plex from Bandido on Kyle Fletcher. After the match, he's pissed. Don Callis' family comes out to fight Brodido, but then not the entire Don Callis family, partial of the Don Callis family comes out. And then Andrade comes out looking suave and chases him away. What did you think of the match?
Right outcome with Brodido winning and Bandido getting the pin going into the pay-per-view. Okay, like y'all are probably not gonna win. He's not gonna beat Kyle Fletcher. I think. As Ryan is yawning, you're making me tired now.
Sorry.
The what is it? The I don't know if it was a neck breaker or whatever. Okada did with Brody and dropped him on his head. I forget how strong Okada is. He just doesn't seem like a big guy as far as muscle-wise like that. So that was kind of impressive to me. But I think the outcome is fine of how they got there with the inadvertent Rainmaker. Maybe I wish we didn't do another inadvertent shot later on in another match.
Yeah. So then we have a hype package for the Painmaker, which is just making me laugh. Again, I'm a jerk.
It seems I can't take it seriously. Like every time I listen to him, like try to be all menacing and scary, it's like trying to sound like he's reading a scary bedtime to a kid.
To me, I'm a Jericho fan. You know that. Wait, I can say hi to Jesse Ozark. Hi, Jesse, because Kate's not here. I'm a Jericho fan, but the Painmaker, like I said last week, has run its course. At this point, you could still have this match. I mean, I don't think the match is necessary, but you could still have it and just have him be like, I've proven in the past I'll go to this well. Like, I've proven that I'm not to be intimidated in hardcore matches or death matches, whatever. It's probably going to be a fun match. Yeah. Because Jericho actually does pretty well in those. Because it kind of hides where he's not as strong anymore. But it's just an unnecessary match.
He didn't win, but he probably will.
I don't want him to win. Then we have Mick Foley come out, because they did say they were going to have more Mick Foley on TV. And he's interviewing Tekla, who then quickly involves Willow Nightingale coming out. And they have a back and forth, Tekla threatening Willow threatening Tekla, being like, I'm going to beat you. My one comment is, Tekla says, I'm going to cloud up your rainbows and then piss on the clouds or something like that. And I'm like, wow, that's an aggressive one. Then Tekla pulls off her glove and slaps Willow with it. And then as they're was hiding behind McFoley, she nails Willow with the microphone. Willow rolls down to the ring. It looks like it's big. And then Tekla's about to, she takes off her belt, I guess, to whip Willow with it. And then Willow just body slam, like barrels into her, knocks her down. Fun little, I thought the interview, I thought the promos were real good and the fighting was all right. What'd you think?
Promos were solid. I thought Tekla still had a better promo. I don't understand the use of Mick Foley yet on TV. I don't feel like when they've had him as an interview person, it just feels like a waste of noise. I thought he'd be more involved with something in this other than just have him sit there and then kind of be like, yeah, I really like Willow, even though I should be impartial here. I thought he was just out there to get kicked in the nuts by Tekla when she was behind him.
If it were me using Mick Foley, I'm with you. I wouldn't have him as like this interview guy. What I would probably have him do is what JR used to do with like those sit down interviews. But from this point of view, not Mick Foley being able to put his personality onto it, being like, I was there. I was this. I like kind of being like, tell me where you're coming from. Let me respond with what I am. They're still figuring that out.
We had an opportunity, like he was helping on commentary or doing talking before the women's no DQ tag match. I think that would have been a good spot for him to talk about, you know, no disqualification, what you do to where you can go mentally and things you do that you wouldn't normally do because you're able to use different weapons and everything else.
He'd be fun in like short little vignettes about that, being like, in this match coming up, you have the Sisters of Sin versus Divine Dominion, and this is what you would connect. And it'd be like, okay, that's a, you know, we'll see. Again, and I think they're figuring it out because I don't think they planned on like him so much.
I will say, though, the most impressive about that segment was the fact that Willow could yimp pounce while wearing heels.
Impressive.
It was.
I mean, I could do it. I just choose not to.
You probably will wear heels a lot more than she does.
A six-way ladder match to crown a number one contender for the AEW International Championship is set for redemption. Jack Perry, Beast Mordos, Commander, and Speedball Mike Bailey have been drawn for the match. AR Fox versus Nick Wayne and Leo Rush versus El Clone are the qualifiers for the final two spots on Collision.
Cool.
Yeah, be a fun match. We then get Clark Connors versus Switchblade Jay White. Bang, bang, gang, still with the coolest entrance. Bang, bangity bang. Is that a bang, bang, bangity bang? Go bang, bang, bang. I will say this. I'm a big fan, obviously a big fan of both the Clark Connors and Switchblade. I'm glad, so glad Switchblade's back. Clark Connors is a lot of fun. They let him have control of most of this match. It felt like he was the one putting on the offense. It always involved Jay White kind of getting around things. Like he was sitting on a chair that Clark Connors put him on, and then Connors dives and Switchblade moves. And, you know, it felt very much like Clark Connors was in control of the match. And then Switchblade got him with a bridging guillotine choke, which I don't think he has a name for. It looked awesome for submission. He wins, and then after the match he hits the Blade Runner, but then David Finley runs in and hits him with a shillelagh, but then the Bang Bang Gang runs in and Juice Robinson has a chain. Okay, I don't know why the Bang Bang Gang wasn't ready to run out as soon as they saw Finley. That's the kind of face stuff I don't like, but the match itself was awesome. What'd you think?
Yeah, to your point about Clark Connors having control of most of the match, I think that makes sense because, you know, Jay White was still relatively fresh coming back off an injury. I think they made that tonight. It was his first time wrestling a singles match in a long time. So I think showing Clark Connors dominate the match most of it makes sense. And the fact that Jay White couldn't hit the Blade Runner throughout the match kind of leads to your point, and them having to find a different way to beat Clark Connors with this, you know, guillotine submission hold, that could come a new trick out of his bag. So yeah. And to your point, yes, I agree. I don't know why the Man Man Gang, when they're famous, they forget that they were also like evil heels and when playing the numbers game.
Yeah. That's yeah. And as Scott George points out, Clark was prepared and stayed away out of the switchblade. Clark looked like he really came into this match as like the guy. He dominated, he knew what to avoid. He did well. It was actually a little surprising, but I'm glad. I mean, Clark Connors needs to, I think it's good when he looks strong. I think that makes the dogs look better. I think the whole thing. I will say the dogs were, I said it earlier this week on Twitter, dogs versus the Bang Bang Gang is maybe my favorite feud going, because the promos they did the last 2 weeks on Collision have just been so insanely weird that I'm like, I love this. Like, and then the matches are going to be good because all the wrestlers involved are good. So like, yeah, that I've enjoyed it. We do have a beatdown segment in the back as Copeland is giving an interview and said that, you know, he and Cage challenged Pac and Claudio to a match for the titles, and then Claudio and Pac beat the hell out of them. Again, Death Riders, I guess, always just going to ride that heel chain and then face when they want to. But just a good old beatdown, nothing really special about it.
No, I wish we had more. I'm waiting for some direction with the tag division. I want something to come out of this soon. I want something other than these little one-off matches.
Yes, agreed. That is for all the now. My only hope, and call me shill or optimistic, is that with the new tag teams that may be coming in, the New Day, Motor City Machine Guns, that you're not going to want to start heavy programs until you get them in, because like that's going to shake things up so much you have to kind of rework. That's my only hope, because it does seem like they're kind of at a standstill at the moment in the tag division. I'm like, all right, like let's move on, you know, give me something here. But speaking of a tag division that has a very solidified champs, you have the Divine Dominion versus Sisters of Sin in a no disqualifications match for the belts, which I didn't know it was no DQ until it started. That's just me not paying attention. Because it basically started with the champs getting attacked by kendo sticks, Sisters of Sin. And this was a typical no DQ match of just brawling it out. Sky Blue, I think, got busted open the hard way. Based on where that cut was, it looks like it was legitimate. She got sent through a table at one time that looked ugly. But really, if we're going to focus on this match, I will say the Divine Dominion won by pinfall with a double spinebuster on Julia Hart. But if we're going to talk about this match, I want to talk about how much I love those hockey jerseys. I don't know who decided that was going to be their merch, but I love those hockey jerseys. Oh, one LT believes this guy gigged, by the way. I thought it was hard based on the way the blood came.
Wow. I'm more interested to see what people wear. So like Sky Blue and Julia Hart came out. They didn't look nearly as creepy or spooky like they usually do. They were wearing pretty normal stuff for them. And then, yeah, Divine Dominion came out in hockey jerseys. It made me think about wanting to ask you, Ryan, if you were in a no disqualification match, what would you wear?
Jeans. I go to old school. I wear my jeans and my work boots.
Steel-toed work boots?
Oh, I need the steel toe. And the tank top. If I go old school, if I'm wearing a shirt, I'm going old school. That's the way wrestling was, with the taped hands.
Okay. Okay.
What about you? What are you putting out?
I'm with you on the jeans. I think that's a solid choice. I'm a big fan of Timberlands. I think I can work with some Timberlands. And then for the shirt, I get the tank top looking cool, but having something not to help protect my arm from being thrashed would be nice.
Yeah. Or do you come out just like full armor?
Nice armor.
Yeah. Try and mess with me now. Just a thought. This was a fun match. The tag division is clearly setting up to have the Brawling Birds be the big challengers to the Divine Dominion. So they got to build that up a little quicker, because I feel like you have a solid champion. You just need better, Sisters of Sin are a fun team, but they weren't built as good challengers. I think they need to build up some challengers in this division. And obviously the Brawling Birds are their big, I think the big team they're going to push on their way.
Do we have other ones that are really legit challengers for the women's tag team belts?
I don't think they have any others.
At one time, like, we had a lot of possibilities for tag teams, and then they decided just to kind of, I don't know what happened.
That's, I hate to say it. Reminds me a little bit of the trios division. They did more when there were no belts. And it's like, as soon as he gets the belts, he stops.
It's always a chase.
I don't know what it is. Like, I guess once he has belts, he's like, well, I got to really focus on the champions and let everyone go to side. When he didn't have belts, it's like, I'll just have these matches with anyone. But it's like, you could still be doing that. Have your championship feud have... I'm not asking for 30 different feuds even. Have your championship feud, have a second feud. Like, that's all I need. You could spread them out. They don't have to be on the same things. Like,
Sense. Championship feud, you have a secondary feud. So whoever wins that one is next in line.
Yeah. You have 4 hours of TV a week. You can build that in. And again, you don't even need to do the secondary one every week. You can do every other something while it's happening.
And that's kind of like why I like what you said earlier, the Dogs and the Bang Bang Gang, is I like when we have feuds that aren't championship centric.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Obviously, AEW has so many belts that most of their feuds are going to involve some type of championship. But it's totally fine to have feuds that have nothing to do with it, because eventually those guys are going to be winning and getting over and getting in the position to win belts. And what LT's bringing up, that's kind of the problem with having so many belts, is that you have to focus so much time on them. You lose some of the secondary feuds, and then you run into the issue of like, well, this guy's holding a belt. How do we move him up to this scene? I was fine when they consolidated the Continental and the International. Wish they had kept that consolidated. You have the TNT, you have the Continental/International. I don't think you need the national one, but the national one could be the lowest of low cards. Like, that could be, the guys who are just coming up. Like, something for, I'm trying to think of a guy, but just something for like, oh, this guy's over, but we're not ready to put him in any kind of scene yet. So like, we'll give him this. International could be your, hey, this guy, International or TNT, doesn't matter which one, like, but be the same thing. Here's the guys that you know are big, but they're not. But like, when you have that, even then, that's still too many belts. I don't know. But you know what the problem is? There's too many belts, but not enough delineation between the belts. Like, I will say this.
A lot of mid-card belts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mid-card belts.
Yeah. But like, when you look at like TNA, who doesn't have as many belts, obviously, but like their X Division title, for all the issues TNA has, their X Division title feels different than other titles. Like, if each title had a personality, you could almost make it work, because you could have wrestlers who fit that personality. But right now it's like, I don't know. And Big G saying, when I was saying about my armor, like kind of like Norman Smiley in WCW. No, he just went with football pads. I'm going like Joe said knight's armor. Someone tried to take me down in that.
Will you wear like the Scott Steiner headpiece?
Oh, underneath, yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get to our main event. We're moving, but oh well. Then we get to our main event. It's John Moxley and Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega versus Brian Cage, Hesh Hachero, and Jake Doyle. So one side of less beefy boys versus big beefy boys. Brian Cage, by the way, he hasn't had quite the success of the guy I'm about to compare him to, but I hope it makes sense. He reminds me of Kane in like later years, where like he's always around. You can always use him as a big needy guy to like look intimidating and hurt people, like, and you just get what you need out of him. I don't know. I was trying to think of someone else. Like that guy just is around for years. And you don't think he's never going to be like main event, but he's dependable and he's big.
Yeah. You need these big guys to put over guys sometimes, though. It makes those wins look really impressive.
Yeah. So we have this match. The story of this match is Omega and Mox. It is a can they coexist storyline, which I'm not a big fan of. The only difference here is at least this can they coexist storyline. At least there was the Ospreay about it all, where like there was that one guy who was trying to keep everyone together. Because early on they're doing like the tag ins and tags out, and they would only tag Ospreay, and then Ospreay made Omega tag Moxley, which did not go over well for Omega, and then Moxley ended up being put down because like with it. It was, you know, and it felt like once that initial round of tagging happened, it became a heel centric match, which obviously makes sense. Heels are gonna dominate most of the match, and then you'd have moments of the faces fighting back. I think my favorite was when Ospreay was about to do his dive out of the ring. He gets just slammed into by Doyle, and then Omega gets slammed into by Doyle. It's just a really fun moment. But at the end of the day, you have all former, future, and current world champions on one side, and then not so much on the other. So Moxley, Ospreay, and Omega won via the Hidden Blade V-Trigger combination on Hesh Hachero. After the match, Omega wants to shake hands with Mox. Oh, during the match, let me go over this in the next situation. During the match, there's a scene where Omega has, I think it was Doyle up, and he's trying to, no, it was Cage. He has Cage and he's trying to give him a suplex, but can't. And Moxley comes in to kick him. Now Moxley whiffed completely. Didn't look like he came anywhere close, but Omega hits him in the suplex. He goes to do this. Moxley goes to get Hesh Hachero in a suplex, and Omega comes in to hit the V trigger to do the same thing. Hesh Hachero gets out. Moxley gets nailed in the face. Typical, like, how dare you do this moment. So after the match, Omega tries to shake Moxley's hand, be like, hey, sorry, didn't mean to do it. Moxley doesn't believe it, kind of gets in his face. Will tries to get in between them. Kenny shoves Will very hard away. Will gets up mad. The Young Bucks came down, which is just not a good idea. You could kind of see Kenny trying to get rid of them, but it was too late at that point. They start fighting. One of them, I forget which, I think it was Matt, attacks Moxley. Ospreay attacks Nick. They start fighting. They kind of fight out of the ring. Out comes more of the Don Callis family. RPG Vice comes out, which I love that they are just dressed as Miami Vice. It will always be funny to me. They get taken. They're both leaning on the ropes to be set up from a big trigger to the back of the head from behind. And out of nowhere, because of the way the camera was set up, comes Kevin Knight with a belt, a dive over the ropes with the belt. It was very awesome looking. And it ends with him standing over Omega. Was it a good match? What did you think of the after?
The match itself, thought was fine. It was good. No major issues with it. Like I said, it was just the moment when Kenny coexist, and for the most part, they did. I thought to myself throughout the match, I'm like, I really wish they would have focused more on on Omega and Kevin Knight, because I feel like we're just kind of, I don't know, just giving it a foregone conclusion and kind of giving away the match by focusing all of our attention on Ospreay, Omega, and John Moxley. But so I'm glad they had Kevin Knight come in at the end and hit him with the belt and have that cool shot of him jumping over the rope. Other than that, it's a weird love triangle. I don't know how else to really think about it. It's just Moxley is the girl that the guy tells his friend to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, that's... it was a good show. I see in the chat you asked the fun scale for everyone. I'm seeing a bunch of threes. What did you think, Joe? What's your rating?
I wish I'm really painting myself into a corner and made this fun scale and didn't have like halves or anything else. But you already have so many faces, Ryan.
I can't do a half face here.
Because I was laying a little bit lower than a three, but not all the way down to a two. So I guess I lean more towards three, but not, in my heart, it feels like 2.5, 2.75 type of show for me.
So you said 2.5?
Sure.
Is it 2 point, is it rounded up or rounded down? I got around here, Joe.
I mean, it's probably going to lean more. It leans closer to a three than a two.
A lot of fun, which is where I fall. I think this was a solid three. I think this was a lot of fun. I think it's setting up for a fun pay-per-view that's very much just a stop in the road. Like we said before, it feels like an in-your-house style pay-per-view.
What's a level two face again? Show me the level two fun face again.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and then so can you make a half something in between those two faces? It'd be a little bit less bug eyed and a little more closed mouth, I guess. Not all the way closed. That's close enough. I look more like a 225.
It's tough. Faces are tough. let me take that up. All right. So, Joe, that's our show for this week. It's a quick one. Without Kate, it usually is. Because it's just one less person.
Or is it the pay-per-view, or are you kind of like, let's keep building you all in?
I listen, Revolution, like I said, it isn't in your house to me. It's the build towards all. It's just, it's a pain for Dynamite at this point for me. Towards,
I probably won't watch it after I have other things going on Sunday.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Listen, you know the matches are going to be good. This is an AEW pay-per-view. It's they put on good matches. All right. Joe, when you're not here, where can you be found?
Usually mowing my yard right now. Other than that, online, you can find me at _AsianJoe on social media. Other than that, that's about all I got. Ryan, what are you up to?
Follow me on all socials at Mark Order Pod. History at Here for History on YouTube, at _HereForHistory on Twitter. I keep saying, and I know I keep promising, but life stuff. But there will be new stuff coming in the fall. I've just decided to say generic fall, and it'll get me through the rest of the year and whatnot. But yeah, that's it. And with that, thank you to the chat. Thanks, 1LT, Jesse, Big G, Scott George, Taylor Cannon. Lord Kev, Matthew Hooks was in here early. Thank you guys for coming and hanging out. And with that, I go to the media assets. I put up our outro. And then I go down and I select.